On today's program, we're going to be picking apples in the Seattle area of the Northwest, and we'll be making donuts with our feet. That's not true.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Today on the show, we'll be making donuts.
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the... whatever. Look at you today. Look at you being bold enough to wear a print kind of thing. Wow. Bold. I see you wearing Prince. Not Prince, the performer. The performer formerly known as Prince with that symbol. I got a symbol for you. It's a picture of my hand. And four of the fingers are turned down. One of them is turned upward. That's my signal for you, Prince. You pompous little son of a bitch. But I have no regrets. I'm not upset about him. Today on the program, we're going to go apple picking in the Northwest. And we're going to make donuts with our feet. That's not true. None of that is true. I don't apple pick. I was once asked to apple pick, and my response was, "Are you serious? You know they have people that do that. You know they hire people to pick apples because no one really wants to go pick their own apples. Excuse me. And see, it's women that do this. A man would never say, hey, Ron, you want to go pick apples with me Sunday? They would never have, I'd say, does that mean something? When you say, quote unquote, pick apples, does that mean something else?
No, I just love to pick apples on Sundays, and I want you to come with me, and we can go apple picking. You bring a big bushel, and it's so manly.
It's not manly, no. But women love to apple pick. Or pick apples. You can interchange which word goes first. They love that for some reason. It's a woman thing. I don't. What's the difference between a man and a woman? A penis and a uterus? No. One of them likes to apple pick. That's the only difference, really. Really. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, physically, there are other differences. But emotionally, it's just the apple picking, really, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, men do a lot of things that women do. Women do a lot of things that men do. But apple picking, no. You never see a man standing in a field of apple trees with a smile on his face watching the woman force him to apple pick. And she doesn't apple pick, by the way. She says, can you reach that apple? I can't reach that apple. Can you reach that apple? I thought I was just coming along to watch you apple pick. Yeah, just give me, reach that, can't reach that apple. Apples have like worms in them, did you know that? Yeah, they do. And I'm not into that, really. I'm not into eating things where there's possible civilizations living inside, and I could bite into their civilization by mistake. I've never, my father took me fishing once. Oh, big mistake. I let him have it. I said, fishing? I don't think so. I'm going to give you the worst day of your life right now. Because you think you're going to put me in a boat and I'm going to sit there quietly? Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. And I remember, I'll never forget this moment. It was a moment in time. My father took a fishing hook and he opened up this little container, and inside it was a bucket of worms. And I've never had that on my bucket list, a bucket of worms. Inside there were worms crawling around, and it's not a pleasant sight. There's nothing pleasant about seeing worms crawling around in a bucket. It's just nothing like it. And he put his hand into the bucket, and he comes out with a big, fat, juicy worm. I describe certain things as big, fat, and juicy. Kisses are big, fat, and juicy. Steaks are big, fat, and juicy. This lady that I met in Florida once was big, fat, and juicy. But worms, that's just creepy. So he picks out a worm, and he spears this living, squirmy piece of crap. It's interesting because the worms are alive on one hand. On the other hand, they're disgusting and they should all be dead. So I have very mixed emotions about worms. I can't tell which is the front of the worm and which is the back. There's no worm head or worm tail. I guess there is if you look real close. I don't think they have eyes or anything. I was never into worms. I kind of know that they don't. They just kind of crawl around aimlessly. It's like a Stevie Wonder slug. It's disgusting. And he takes this worm and he spears it through its little worm body onto the hook. And the little worm is still squirming around. And I'm going crazy, man. And as a kid in the boat, I said to my father, like, what's wrong with you, man? Why are you taking me out on a body of water where I'm stuck on a boat with you, first of all? I'm stuck in a location with you, and I don't like to be stuck in places. And then you're visibly taking a living, squirming, disgusting thing and spearing it. Why are you doing this to me? Is it an important part of me discovering my body? Why are you doing this to me? And I know my father was just trying to be a father and spend some father time with me, but it was a sucky choice of time, a sucky activity. Take me to the movies. I mean, let's find a girl and lock me in a closet with her, something that's of some significance. And eventually, we caught a fish. I don't remember if it was on his line or my line or his time or my time. I have no idea. We caught the fish and brought the fish home, and my mother, I don't know what the hell she did with the fish. We never ate the fish. I think my mother probably got the fish from my father in our house and said, what, are you serious? What do you want me to do with this? So anyway, that's my fishing experience, ladies and gentlemen. It was horrible. But anyway, apple picking. Worms. Oh, Ron, man, here you go. Here you go. Here you go now. I don't like apple picking. I also don't like, and women do this as well. They say, we live in the Northeast here, in the Boston area, and there's a lot of nice places around here to visit. In the fall, the leaves on the trees turn colors. Some of you don't know what trees are. This is what happens to them. And then women want to put you in a car and have you drive them to areas to watch the leaves turn colors. And to my response is always in a clever, humorous manner, well, we could just watch paint dry, and they don't appreciate that. They don't find that to be funny, first of all. And secondly, don't backtalk me, they say. So I'm forced to get in a car and drive them into mountainous areas where we stop the car, we get out, and we look at a mountain or a hill, which has a lot of color on it because the leaves are changing colors, which is the idea of this whole thing. And we take a picture, and at that point, I feel like turning to the woman and saying, okay, now what? And then I get chewed out. Then I get chewed out to the point where, what, don't you enjoy anything? Don't you have an appreciation for things? Don't you this? Don't you that? Don't you, don't you, don't you? And I don't know what to say because, no, I don't. I mean, I do, but I don't. Because here's the deal, man. I live in the Boston area, and the leaves change colors here too a little bit later on, and they're very pretty here. So I don't know why I'm getting in a car driving for 3 hours to watch leaves turn colors in a different location, and that's supposed to be special. So I don't quite get that part of it. And that leads back to the apple picking. And that's the differences between people. I mean, I understand. Well, I guess I don't. But I do ask you this question at this particular time, ladies and gentlemen.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
When I was growing up, there was a piece of clothing, and I don't think they make it anymore, and if they do, I'm not aware of it. It was a piece of clothing, and it's very, very strange. It was a turtleneck. Not a lot of people wear turtlenecks anymore. It's kind of a throwback to the 60s, 70s, and a little bit into the 80s. Turtlenecks are, for those of you that, you know, who were born like maybe 12 years ago, you don't know. And by the way, if you're born 12 years ago, you shouldn't be listening to this crap. You really shouldn't. You should be going to school and getting yourself an education, or getting in a car and being driven to a field where you can pick apples. Because other than that, you shouldn't be doing this. Turtlenecks, it was clothing. They were shirts that when you put them on, you look like a turtle. I guess it was very big back in those days to want to look like a turtle. And the part of the turtle that the shirts were mocking, and by the way, there were also mock turtle shirts, so was the part where the turtle's head dissolves into its body and it looks like headless. Well, that's what turtlenecks were. They were an extra amount of material up around the neck area. And they were called turtlenecks. And I don't know why. I don't know who invented this stupid thing. It's probably a turtle. So anyway, they had that. And at one point, they came out with something called a mock turtleneck. And I don't know what the hell that was, because it was still a turtleneck. I guess we just would mock it. Like, Then they came out with something where they don't sell you the whole shirt. They only sell you the part of the turtleneck that shows around the neck. The rest of it doesn't exist. It's the strangest piece of clothing ever devised by man. You wear it under a sweater, but the only part that shows is the top, and that's all you're buying. It has no sleeves, it has no waist, it has no chest. It's just the part around the neck. It's like you were in an auto accident. The paramedics pull you out of the car with the jaws of life, and to make sure that you haven't broken your neck, they put you in one of those neck collars. That's what this turtleneck, this thing, it was called. So here's a name they came up for this thing. It was called the Dickie. And for decades, people walked around wearing Dickies, and it was so accepted that nobody made fun of them that they were also the name of a pet name for a penis. No one ever brought that up because it was so widely accepted. They were called Dickies. and people wore them. Yeah, they did. You can look it up in a book or look on the internet, pictures of Dickies, and they may still sell some of these things. It's the stupidest thing in the world. Then I believe there's a company that makes uniforms that's called Dickies. I'm not sure. And then there's Dick's Sporting Goods. Well, we're getting really off track here, but there was actually a piece of clothing, which was, you didn't buy the whole piece of clothing, you just bought a part of the piece of clothing and wore that. Can you believe that? So I'm asking you the question, would you be bold enough to walk around the house naked, wearing nothing but a Dickie?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. That is part of my name. The show part is not part of my name. That indicates that I do a show. I do a show every single freaking weekday, Monday through Friday, on internet radio. That means that you can listen to the show anytime you want. It's like radio on demand. So you can't say, oh, Ron, I'm sorry I missed that show yesterday. It's always there, so that doesn't fly. Coming up just a little bit later in this particular program, Tess Masters is going to join us. She's the blender girl, as she is. She is going to teach us how to make blender drinks to lose weight and be more healthy and buy a blender, I suppose. Then we're going apple picking. Then we're going nose picking. Ugh. Speaking of nose picking, I'm going to now tell you the most disgusting story I have ever told on this program. I don't think I've actually, in all my years of broadcasting, 723 years it seems like, I don't think I ever told this story. It is very disgusting. So don't eat while I tell you this story. It's disgusting.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
All right, this is again about my father. He seems to be infiltrating two of my stories in today's show. The first being the worm on the hook story, this one being the nose picking story. My father's no longer with us. He's moved on to another pasture, picking apples, I suppose. He, nice man. We got along okay. I mean, we weren't really tight or close or anything like that. I think in his lifetime with me, he took me to maybe three places. One of them was on that boat with the worms. And the other two, I don't recall. He took me to an amusement park. But unfortunately, I found him later on in the day. He tried to dump me. Ron, would you like to go on a roller coaster for 7 hours? How does that sound to you? Why, will I go do something else? No. Anyway, he was a nice man. I make fun of him basically because he's not here and he can't hear the show. Although, can he? Or maybe he can. And if you can, I'm only kidding. Anyway, my father had a habit that a lot of people have, and it's called nose picking. And I don't know what the fascination with nose picking is. I guess your nostrils get dried up and it forms these things called nostril balls, or what do you call that stuff? You know, the nostril crap inside. Boogers. I guess they call them boogers. Anyway, he was famous for just sitting there and picking his nose. And I got to tell you, if you have that habit of picking your nose, you always think that no one can see you do it. Everybody can see you do it. It's disgusting. Stop it. As my friend Tori Lagarde would say, the way to resolve that situation is stop it. My brother, 3 years younger than I, my brother and I were playing hide and seek in the house. We played hide and seek a lot. The hopes were that no one would find each other eventually and we'd all be out of there. Played hide and seek. And I remember my favorite place to hide in the house was in the closet. And, of course, in my mind as a kid, who's ever going to look in a closet to find a person? That's where you hang clothes. Why, I could live in there, no one will ever find me again. And, of course, the closet is the first place that you look when you're playing hide and seek. I didn't have the capacity to see both ends of the coin. Now I do, like, big time, but back then I didn't. Because when I was looking for my brother, I would always look in the closet. And yet when it was time to hide, I would always hide in the closet, which is kind of counterproductive. You feel eventually, Ron, you're going to figure out maybe it's not the best place to hide because you know that's the first place that people look. So I chose another wonderful place to hide where obviously nobody ever looks, and that was under the bed. And So I'm hiding under, I'm in my parents' room, and I'm hiding under their bed, and I'm hiding under, and I'm lying there still, and I hear my brother walking around, and Ron, where are you? And I hear him walking around, and I'm going, oh, he's never going to look under the bed. Whoever hides under a bed playing hide and seek, why, it just doesn't happen. And he's walking around, and then I hear his footsteps, you know, in the area, so I'm lying as under the bed, you know, face up as carefully as possible, not to make a move or anything like that. And I'm lying there, and my hands are braced under the bed, you know, to make sure that I don't move or wiggle. And I'm feeling with my hand something a little bit lumpy. And it kind of feels like an elongated piece of gum was shoved under the bed, up into the, you know, the slats of the bed. And I'm thinking, ugh. And then it hit me. Oh my God, my father picks his nose. I am lying under the bed in the area under which my father sleeps. As you know, in beds, we all pick our sides. And even if you're alone in a bed, most people don't sleep in the middle. They pick a side. I was on the side where my father sleeps in that big bed. And I'm saying to myself, oh my God, these aren't stalactites and stalagmites. It's not chewing gum. It's my father's dried up snot. And my face is like basically right in it. Immediately, my thought went back to those crazy worms, and I freaked out. And I got out from under that bed as fast as possible. And my brother was standing there, and he goes, "Ron, why I didn't even find you yet. What are you doing?" Under the bed. Ron, what's the matter? I was under the bed. It's just mounds of snot and boogers, and I touched them. Oh my God.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
Gentlemen, did you ever notice that it always seems to be the ladies who pamper themselves with a spa day, with the mani-pedi and the facials and the massage? Do you ever think maybe you'd like to have a special day for yourself, but you are afraid it might be a little gay? Well, good news, gentlemen. Now you can have your own special spa day at Ramon Ramirez's Not-So-Gay Salon for Men. Let Ramon Ramirez take the stress off a tough day with a long, deep massage. It's not gay, it's therapeutic. After you relax, Ramon Ramirez will use special oils and lotions and maybe clean up some of your hairier man parts. It's not gay, it's hygienic. A lot of guys are doing it. Then it's time to kick back and let it all hang out in a long steam room session with Ramon Ramirez. It's not gay, much. So gentlemen, why wait? It's time for you to have a great day for yourself at Ramon Ramirez's Not So Gay Salon for Men. Please, no fat guys.
So I recently went to the doctor. I talked about it on the program, and I had a very successful blood test, a very, very successful blood test. But one of my elements I supposedly have to be a little bit careful about, and my blood test results come back, and they said that my sugar levels are a bit elevated. I don't know if that's a technical term, but that's what was written in the the report of the blood test. It said, "Ron, your sugar level is a bit elevated," and I'm aware of that. So I do what I can to keep my sugar levels down. I don't sit there and eat a half a cake. I used to, but I don't do that anymore. I used to put sugar on everything. My God, when I was a little child, about 5, 6, 7 years old. My grandparents used to take me to this really nice restaurant in New York called the Hotel Alden. They lived in this hotel. No, I'm sorry. They lived across the street from this hotel. And they lived in a hotel, but this hotel they lived in New York City, Manhattan, didn't have a restaurant in it. So they would go across the street to have their meals. So we go to this Hotel Alden, to their dining room. Very, very classy place. Tablecloths. The waiters were dressed in tuxedos. Yeah, they were doing all right. So we would sit there and order the meal, and while we were waiting for the meal, they don't do this anymore, but in those days when I was growing up with the horse and the carriages and the castles and the moats, Ron, how old are you? I don't want to know. You don't want to know. There was a glass bowl on the table, in the middle of the table, was the salt, the pepper, and a glass bowl. And inside the glass bowl was a thing called, and kids, you may not be familiar with this, sugar cubes.
Sugar cubes? What?
Yeah, sugar cubes. They were tiny little cubes about the size of small dice. And they were perfect cubes. And I don't know how they did that. I don't know how they made these things. My brother and I used to just put our hands into that sugar cube dish and eat the sugar cubes like they were candy. And they were tasty. They would dissolve in your mouth over a short period of time. And my parents never said, don't do that. You're going to ruin your teeth. You're going to get diabetes someday. Now, sugar's not good. In those days, man, people smoked. Everybody smoked. If you didn't smoke in those days, you were going to die. I mean, cigarettes were thought to be a relaxing, recreational entity. Everybody smoked. When you went to somebody's house, my parents had a little bowl on the coffee table in the living room. And in that little bowl container were cigarettes. And when people would come over, they would grab a cigarette, light one up, and sit down and talk. And most parents had these things. Most parents smoked. I would guess 80% of society smoked in those days. Very, very different than now. It's the opposite now. So my brother and I would just eat these sugar cubes until our meals came, and then we would eat the food. And I don't think that has anything to do with my sugar levels raised a bit, quote unquote, my analysis report. But yet that's the way we used to live. So I'm very conscious now of trying to be as healthy as possible. I want to look good. I want to look good for the ladies, and the ladies should look good for me. That's the way that should work. There's no reason why women should spend their whole lives trying to look wonderful and men spend their whole lives just sitting there. Some men go to the gym, but they're not looking good for the women. They're looking good for themselves. They stare in the mirror and they want to look good for themselves. Look at me. Look at how cut I am. Very, very impressive. Yes, you're very impressive. Very, very impressive. Women put on makeup, they dress, they do it for other women as well, but they don't so much, in my impression is they don't so much do it for themselves, they do it to look good to other people. Men don't care about that. So women will wear sexy things, do their hair, put on makeup, and men won't. They don't dress up ever. As a matter of fact, they complain about dressing up. Oh, do I have to put a tie on? Do I have to look good today?
Would you please just for once try to dress up a little bit and look good for a change?
Do I have to do that?
What's wrong with you, man? Look at what they're doing for you. You're doing nothing for them.
That's not the way I am. No, I wear shorts and I wear sweatshirts and baseball caps, and I don't brush my teeth. And that's the way I am. That's the way I'm. I'm natural. I'm real.
Yeah, you're real sloppy.
That's the way I like my women.
You say that, but you don't. You like your women looking good, and you know you do. So why don't you meet them halfway, man?
I don't know. Why don't you just shut up?
Oh, okay, fine. I get it. So, you know, a lot of men actually are getting into trying to look better. Not half as much as what women do. Not half as much.
Would you just dress up for once? Would you look presentable just for once?
It's not the way I am. That's not what I do. It's not what I do. It's not the way I am.
Just once, can you look presentable? For me? For me? Can you put a jacket and a tie on for me?
That's not what I do.
Did you ever go to a wedding? Not yours, necessarily. Did you ever go to a wedding as a guest or something like that? Or go to church or something? Or a funeral? And the guys have to dress up. They have to put on a jacket and a tie. They have to. Or they're actually in the wedding party and they have to wear one of those damn ridiculous looking tuxedos where they all dress alike. Hey, let's Let's go to a wedding and let's all... Hey, here's a good idea. Let's all dress the same.
Why? Why would you want to do that?
Well, to make you spend money to look like me.
What? What are you doing? Man, what are you doing?
A guest will always come up to the best man or to some other guest in the wedding and say the following phrase, which proves my point. A guest will always walk up to a guy dressed up, guys dressed up, and they will say to the guy, "Wow, you clean up nice."
You clean up nice? What does that mean?
It means normally you look like a fucking slob, and you finally took a shower, and now you look decent.
Nobody ever goes to a woman who's dressed nicely in a nice dress, looking good. No one walks up to a woman and says, "Wow, Mary, you clean up nice." Well, there would be a fist fight.
Wait, I don't look good all the time?
So you say it to a man because it's not expected that a man will ever look that good unless it's a special function. A woman always strives to look good. That makes my point.
And that's what I'm talking about. So there you go. Did you enjoy that story? I think you did.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Well, I didn't say it was funny. I was just making a point. I don't need that type of humiliation, kid. Sound like a nice kid, but I don't need that kind of humiliation. And maybe, young child, you shouldn't be listening to a show like this.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
A young lady's name is Thalia. And very, very nice girl, part of the Shanahan production team, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, it's time now to speak to the blender girl and learn how to lose weight, be extremely healthy. And I'm not kidding you. Some people say, "Ron, you know, are you kidding me?" And I say, "No, I'm not kidding you." Okay. Tess Masters is a powerhouse blogger, and she's powerhoused another book called The Blender Girl Smoothies. And after you read this book and you put it in the blender, you'll find out how healthy and good feeling you can be. Tess, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, okay, I don't think there's a person listening to this show who doesn't want to be healthier, slimmer, to have their body working correctly. And here you come along with the Blender Girl smoothies. And I'll tell you something. Smoothies are, I mean, I know in California where you are, that's kind of a big thing. In New England, it's kind of not, but it should be. And, so.
Well, I may just change my mind. Because
yeah.
The thing about smoothies, they're so popular, you know, and no one really needs a recipe for a smoothie because, you know, you can just throw fruit and a few spices and things and create something really delicious. But for me with this book, I really wanted to show people that smoothies can be meals, and I love to go on a dimensional journey with a smoothie, much like a textured dish. So, you know, there's lots of smoothies in the book which can really show people how to, you know, extend their thinking beyond what they might think to put in a smoothie, you know. So I've got lots of different recipes, you know, for breakfast, for dessert, very, very interesting combinations, green smoothies, and it's a great way to get your daily dose of fruits and vegetables, you know. So there's like an amazing breakfast smoothie in the book, you know, that's called Crazy for Cantaloupe. I love it. It tastes like a creamsicle, and it's, you know, just got orange juice and melon, a bit of banana. I'm using There's a really fantastic yogurt on the market called Silk, and it's dairy-free, and it tastes exactly like dairy yogurt for people that are, you know, looking to be a little bit healthier. And then, you know, I love to put a little bit of salt in all my smoothies, which is an interesting thing, but Celtic sea salt's a really mineral-rich salt, which is very strengthening for the body, so I love to do that. And, you know, it just brings out the beautiful flavor of the melon. And, you know, green smoothies are amazing. They're very, they're trending right now, you know, but a lot of people just kind of go, ew, I'm not having that, you know, so I love to create, you know, green smoothies that taste like cocktails and are really fun and refreshing for summer. So for you guys on the East Coast, you know, I love this green mojito smoothie because it kind of tastes like a fun cocktail, you know, and I love to crack open, like, Melissa's have got these amazing young Thai coconuts, which are amazing, but you could use just water, and I mix it with, you know, some limes and some mint and some, you know, baby kale and frozen pineapple from Earthbound Farm, which is really good quality, really beautiful, very mild in flavor. And then you could sort of add some things if you wanted to, like, you know, some Nevada's Naturals wheatgrass powder or a little bit of coconut oil from Nativa just to boost the nutritional content of the smoothie. So you kind of, I'm always trying to put as many different nutrients as possible without affecting the flavor, so it doesn't look like a big old glass of death. And also, you know, very, very delicious and, you know, appealing to people, you know. So there's a few very interesting smoothies in the book. Like, there's a, my very favorite smoothie in the book is called the pomegranate salami, because it kind of just, like, hits you on the front and expands, and it's like a firecracker in your mouth, you know, and I love it. This is interesting, so bear with me. It's a very interesting combination. It's got pomegranate juice, an orange, a little bit of red bell pepper, which is bizarre in a smoothie, but it creates this extraordinary flavor. I'm thickening it with a tiny bit of avocado, so all of that beautiful glutathione, you know, healthy fats. And then I'm adding some beautiful Driscoll strawberries because they're exquisite right now. And they're all over Boston, so you can get them readily. I'm putting a tiny bit of arugula and some cayenne pepper from Frontier Co-op because it's really, really great in flavor. And it's kind of just got this amazing flavor. And then desserts, because we all love desserts. I've got this smoothie in the book called a blueberry breakfast tart, which tastes like a melted Pop-Tart. It's amazing, but it's healthy. So I'm using, you know, some Silk almond milk, a little bit of raw cashews, and some rolled oats to sort of replicate the flavor of pastry, which is really, really delicious. And then I'm adding some blueberries, some ground cinnamon. You could fortify it with some coconut oil. It's really, really great. So there's kind of something for everybody in the book, you know. And we all want to add more fruits and vegetables into our diet. And I kind of feel like besides grazing in your produce drawer, or, you know, picking up a piece of fruit, a handful of nuts, a smoothie is, you know, the ultimate healthy fast food. So it just makes eating fruits and vegetables fun.
Now, can I replace my meals with the smoothie? In other words, can I go through the whole day and have smoothies, and will that be okay for me?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone wants to co-check their teeth at the door, but I love smoothies. I mean, some days I have two smoothies, you know, but I kind of, you know, I get thousands of emails a month, you know, from people saying, yeah, because I ask everybody, what's your perfect blend? I love people to write to me and you know, tell me what they're making. And a lot of people are making the same smoothie over and over and over. So I really encourage people for nutritional diversity and taste bud satisfaction to make it fun, to be blending different things every day. But I think, you know, I have a smoothie for breakfast every single morning. So I think it's a great, quick, easy breakfast. I can take it in the car with me on my way to work. You know, I can put it in mason jars, put it in the fridge for lunch. So yes, you absolutely can. I mean, I love making savory gazpacho, you know, salty smoothies.
Ooh, that's good.
But it tastes like soup, you know.
That's good.
So you can, you know, with bell pepper and tomatoes,
that's
and
a good
bit of cilantro, a tiny bit of onion. You know, those kind of smoothies make fantastic lunches, afternoon snacks, or quick, easy dinners, you know, on like a, you know, a summer night where you don't really feel like cooking. So, you know, really, savory smoothies actually expand your repertoire of soups.
I like that.
Yeah.
Does the body break down soup better than it, not soup, liquid better than it does solids? In other words, if I had a smoothie for dinner, would I, like, gain weight because I'm not eating and then sitting around and going to sleep?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There is absolutely this idea out there that, you know, blended food is, you know, pre-digested. It's been broken down somewhat.
But
what people tend to forget is the first stage of digestion begins in the mouth. So, you know, it's kind of that thing of, you know, swish and chew your liquids and drink your solids, you know. So I would encourage people, when you're drinking smoothies, just swish it around a little bit. Don't glug it and chug it in, you know, 30 seconds.
Gotcha.
But I do think that, you know, it's interesting. I'm getting a lot of emails from men, actually. It's really interesting that I'm talking to you. that, you know, who've been making some of the weight loss smoothies in the book and have, you know, lost 10 to 20 pounds.
You know, making these recipes. You know, when they talk about weight loss, you always, you know, always talk about women. Men want to look good too, you know?
And absolutely.
They may not talk about it a lot, but, you know, they really want to look good for their woman as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, my demographics actually swung 54% male in the last 2 years. And it's not because I look like Kim Kardashian. It's because men are really, really interested in this. They want to look good. They want to be healthy. They want to work out. They want to find quick, easy, healthy, fast food to sustain them and nourish them. And so I think it's a really important point. Men really are interested in this. But it's also obviously great for women and really, really wonderful for children.
So,
Tess, it's a great way to get children in the kitchen making stuff.
It's about time the children ate properly as well. And this way they can have their nutritious things and they think it's a shake or something, and that's great. Listen, I wish, you know, so I'm in the supermarket and I'm looking for all these good things to put in a smoothie. I wish there was an app on my phone that would have the information.
I love you. Yes, so the Blender Girl Smoothies book actually began as an app with Random House. It was launched last October, and it's so much fun on your phone because, unlike the book, you can actually search. You know, you can punch in, I feel a bit slow and sleepy. I need a burst of energy. I crave something salty or something sweet, something fruity. So it's such a fun way to search the smoothie. So I really encourage everyone. It's the Blender Girl Smoothies app, which is available in the app store.
That's wonderful. It's the Blender Girl Smoothies, gluten-free, vegan, paleo-friendly recipes, and it's got pictures of the smoothies, so it really, really makes you want to put these things together. She's Tess Masters. How do we find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me everywhere at theblendergirl.com, and I am at theblendergirl everywhere in social media, and I answer every tweet, every Facebook post, every email. So please reach out. Tell me what you're making from the book and the app, and tell me what you're creating yourself, and I'd love to feature you.
Hey, it's a whole new world here. Thank you so much for your time, Tess.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care. There you have her, Tess Masters. Put her in the blender. Enjoy. Hey, kids, thank you so much for joining me today. I'll be back again for the next program. You stay, you come back tomorrow. Will you do that? Do we have a date? Wear some decent clothes then for a change, will you please? And lose some weight. Put it in a blender.
Unbelievably painful.
Whatever.